This is BirdieCast. A podcast about making light of life on tour. We're your hosts, professional golfers Maya Schechter and Leslie Klutz.
Welcome back to BirdieCast. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Maya.
This week we have a guest called Alyssa Nastalski. She is co-owner of Dogwood Country Club here in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina. We initially met through Instagram.
Yeah.
Social media power. Yeah. I don't know who messaged first. I can't remember. But I've been following you guys for a long time.
No, I love that though.
Leslie was playing it cool, playing hard to get. She kept reaching out. That's how.
Well, I was like, man, this looks awesome on a rainy day. Maybe I go practice there.
Yeah.
And so then I hopped in one day on an off day. I biked by and then I hopped in.
You biked. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. I think I was incognito because I was wearing jeans. And I'm pretty sure you guys thought, like, who is this random girl?
Does she even play golf?
Yeah. But then I mentioned that I played.
Does she know how to swing?
Yeah, right? Do you need a lesson? Nice. So,
no, we get that a lot. And, you know, I don't know if I realized it was you at first because I had been following along with you once we connected on there. But I'm glad that you did.
And it's been...
It's been fun to be able to provide that for you when you need it.
And yeah, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the layout of Dogwood? Like, for people that are listening, what is Dogwood Country Club?
Dogwood is very technology-driven. We call it an urban country club. So kind of twisting up the concept of country clubs, and even really just our approach is a big thing for us. So we are located in the heart of downtown Raleigh. We have multiple TrackMan bays for people to swing on. TrackMan has tons of capabilities, so you can go on driving range mode and learn all kinds of things about your swing and see video feedback.
Yeah.
Sometimes dangerous amounts of things about your swing. Or you can play full courses in there. We also have what they call an augmented reality putting green that we just brought in from Germany not too long ago as well. But so we've kind of got a full setup in there for indoor practice, training, all that kind of stuff.
Short game too then?
We do not have, TrackMan has great capabilities for, you know, wedge shots, all that kind of stuff, but not specifically like a short game area, if that's the question. Yeah,
I guess indoor sand gets very messy.
Yeah, so I would imagine.
Yeah, so maybe not do that. Okay, and just a quick question, where did the Dogwood Country Club, where did the name come from?
You know, we toyed around with the name a lot. There were a lot more standard, very straightforward names that we were going to come up with, like the Raleigh Golf Lab or Raleigh Golf Spot. And, you know, I just kept thinking about what we had allowed it to become because it was a lot of brainstorming and just continuing to add to the idea as we went. And I'm like, you know, we've kind of created like a meeting place now that we're here. And I feel like it doesn't do it justice to call it the Raleigh Golf Spot or something like that. So, the dogwood is the state flower of North Carolina. We were actually out in the yard at our house one day, which is lined with a whole bunch of dogwood trees. And I'm like, what if you called it like Dogwood Country Club? We went and checked to see if there was anything called Dogwood Country Club yet. There's not.
Nice.
There are some dogwood golf courses and some like variations of dogwood, but nothing specifically called Dogwood Country Club. So we kind of toyed around with it a little bit longer and everyone just realized that that was it. Just felt right. So
Very cool. So jumping back then to sort of the initial stages of Dogwood Country Club, like what was the inspiration? How did you guys come about the idea? And like who was a part of making this whole plan?
It was 100% myself and my husband. My husband is a PGA pro and an instructor. You know, it all just, like I said, it kind of snowballed. We kept adding on for each other. But the big thing was Dave had started out in the golf industry. He went through North Carolina State's PGM program, so he knew he was going to be a PGA pro of some sort. And in his internships and all of his experience through school, he realized that the part of the game that he really loved was instruction. So he didn't specifically want to be the guy in the pro shop or, you know, somebody working in turf grass or anything like that. He loved teaching. So he went straight from college into the instruction end of things for a few years. And then in the meantime, we actually started a training aid company called Dirty Larry Golf. We sell a putting aid that's been in business for 6 or 7 years now. To get that thing rolling, it's all e-commerce. At one point he said, you know what, I think I need to take a step back and give this my full focus. Like, you know, getting a startup going can take a lot. So he stepped back from instruction, focused on that full time. In the meantime, that gave us connections where he was able to get to know a lot of, you know, very well-known instructors with great experience, guys who are coaching tour players, all that kind of stuff. And so those guys said, hey, if you want to learn, you can come work under me. I would love to teach you more, which is just such an opportunity. So between having that chance to work with those guys and then as well just missing having all of his clients and those relationships, after a few years, he really wanted to get back into teaching. So the big goal there for him was, you know, how do I start my instruction business back up? But I think he also had the entrepreneurial bug where he didn't know that he wanted to work under somebody. So the first thing we did was try and kind of look around for any golf courses in the area. We figured we wanted to stay around here that might have an opportunity that just needed an instructor. And then from there, the more we talked, we said, you know what? The big thing for you, because the way that he likes to teach, he's very passionate about technology and all of the capabilities that it gives you. We're like, we could just set up an indoor studio somewhere. And then he specifically chose downtown. I'll give him that credit. He chose downtown. And then I'm like, well, if we're downtown, like, this could be a hangout. We could make this a whole thing. And we just kept going. We just kept adding more and more things to it. And then it became Dogwood Country Club.
So he's more like the golf instruction side, and then you're the business side? Is that kind of how that relationship works?
I wouldn't take his business capabilities from at all. He's a great businessman, yeah. But but that's definitely his major focus day to day. He goes in and he thankfully is blessed to have a nice full client book, so he stays pretty dang busy
that's
with
awesome.
The instruction. I make sure things are running smoothly in the facility, you know, thinking through our next steps, all that kind of stuff, and then we always, you know, reconvene, go over things, brainstorm more. But
Leslie, kind of as we were talking about brainstorming for this episode, she posed an interesting question of what it's like to be a woman in the golf industry. Has that been any sort of a shift in mindset or anything that you've had to adjust to, or is it kind of like you just do you? And
I love that question.
Were you in the golf industry?
I actually, I did not, I was not involved with golf until I met Dave.
Okay.
So no one in my family golfed. I met him. We've been together for almost a decade now, but so I've been in it a long time. But you know, I kind of dove full force. I wasn't even a golfer. And then I was working in the golf industry and I'm like, well, now I want to learn to golf because I'm working in this.
Okay.
So it all kind of followed a strange path for me. But, I love that question. You know, the golf industry opened my eyes to some things that I didn't realize. I had always grown up hanging out with the guys. I had older brothers. Everyone was always super respectful of me, I felt like. And I never, like, if somebody mentioned feminism in some ways, I'd be like, that's crazy. Like, quiet down. Nobody's treating you that poorly. And then I will say, and I love that we have this platform to say this, getting into the golf industry, I have turned into a full force feminist.
Really?
I get really frustrated sometimes. It's a male dominated industry, and I think people who know me well show me a lot of respect. They get to know me, you know, we become good friends, all that kind of stuff. But I think that there are a lot of men that are set in their ways in golf, and they like that it's a male dominated sport. And yeah, I've run into that a lot.
So you feel like and you're imposing on their turf.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of like the old boys club spirit. So like I've had even at like PGA show, I've had people kind of treat me inappropriately as a woman. They
like
get down
saying things, or
I would say like almost crossing a line. I won't say like true sexual harassment, but I'm there to do business, right? So if you're going to show me respect, just treat me like another business person. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they can say some inappropriate things sometimes or try and get too flirty. And you're really like, to me, I'm there as your equal.
Yeah.
We're all here for the same purpose. So I've gotten I've got a little sass about that.
How do you handle that? Like,
do you use it to your advantage?
I would say
maybe being married is kind of a helpful thing too, because you're like,
that's helpful,
you don't
and
have
he's
to deal with a lot of it because you're like, I'm married.
Yeah, and he's always there with me too. Yeah. We work together, so respectful. And I love him for it, because the more I've pointed it out to him, he's always watching now. There are even just simple things, very simple, but like now that he knows and I'll point it out, he always pays attention. So sometimes men in a business setting will, let's say that you two are men and I'm a woman, and we're all having a conversation, the man will only talk to the man, and they'll stop talking to me while I'm sitting here. Huh. Happens a lot. So he, like Dave, always pays attention to this now, because I've pointed this out to him, where I almost get cut out of the conversation because I'm a female.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. But there, I will say there are some that, I think it just depends, you know, where they are. There are some that are very, very respectful and would never do that to you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I'm like always very aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Huh. I was, admittedly, when we asked this question, I was like really hoping you were gonna say, no, it's fine, like being a woman in the golf industry, like I don't know what you, like kind of the attitude that you said you used to have. I was really hoping that you still had that. So it's kind of like,
I mean, to me, I like that you said it though, because I think that nothing will change if nobody acknowledges it, right?
Yeah, true.
So if we keep acting like, and that's how I started, someone asked that question and we kept kind of rambling. When, the way I would approach it initially was, I didn't want to make a fuss about anything. I don't make a fuss anyway, but I at least have pointed it out to the people I work with, like Dave, so now Dave knows, and he'll specifically do things to say, oh, you need to ask that question to Alyssa, because Alyssa handles that, to make a point to them, like, hey, she's really important here. She built this business with me, all that kind of stuff.
Do you find it's also a bit of a litmus test, in that you, if you're looking to work with somebody and you're at a business meeting and they're just talking to Dave, you're kind of like, well, maybe this isn't somebody that you want to work with. Like, if that's sort of how they value women, and I don't know if that's had any impact on that.
Yeah, I will say again, to Dave's credit, I think that he uses it more as a litmus test than I do. Like, he'll be like, I don't really like that that guy refused to acknowledge you, because he's so aware now.
Dave.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. Yeah.
Well, I think it does. I think you need to show, in general, whoever it is, you need to show respect to who you're working with, and their ideas, and, you know, wanting their approval when they're trying to collaborate with you and all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that does say a lot about who you're working with in business.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Cool. I'm glad to hear that maybe it's changing, and talking about it will change it, but also too bad that it's something that you even have to deal with. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would say a lot of what I encounter, thankfully, not to place it all on this category, but it's usually much older men that were used to the industry that was almost strictly male, right?
Yeah.
And they're very used to doing their business with men, and even the people coming to the course were men. And and usually when you look, you start dialing it back to younger and younger, it's a different viewpoint, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. So going back to the business side of things, with Dave doing instruction, is that most of it, or is it, do you guys serve like bad weather? When it's bad weather, you see kind of an influx in clients? Is it daily memberships, or do you do kind of the country club setup of annual memberships? Like, how does that all work?
Great question. It's a whole mix of things.
Yeah,
it really is. We didn't want to shut out any different ideas and things that might work for people. So if somebody thinks that they're going to use the facility often, they can sign up for a membership. Dave certainly works with a lot of clients, and a lot of times he'll build them into packages, because he likes to work along with them, especially on the technology, for them to be able to see their numbers with him. I'm saying numbers because he loves TrackMan. So, you know, if we're looking at this swing direction and we're trying to get it to this specific number, for them to be able to come in and practice and look for that number as well, he thinks is very helpful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's important on the instruction side. Some of it's just for fun, and the way we kind of view it as like growing the game. And like you said, you know, you have those days where it makes more sense to be indoors. So, I mean, it does a lot. There's a whole bunch built in there.
Yeah, because North Carolina isn't really, you think of like Michigan where it
snows
and it's really cold. But North Carolina, you have most days, I mean, Leslie and I, most days you're outside, even if it's cold or windy.
You don't lose a whole season.
No, right. Yeah. So, but you thought, and it seems like it's working, that even though it is North Carolina with pretty mildish winters, like it still works because you provide other services. So
it's there's so much built into it. I mean, there are things that are just convenient that a round of golf is a lot faster.
Yeah,
I say that, but it depends on who's in there and what they're doing.
True.
But in general, if you two wanted to come in, there's pretty much a standard time you're going to have to wait on a standard golf course to play. But when it's just down to the two of you and you're not losing balls and you're not moving from hole to hole and all that kind of stuff, you can really cut down on your time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you find Topgolf a or what is it here?
Drive Shack. Here it's a Drive Shack. And then Charlotte has Topgolf, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know, I think that there are probably times where somebody makes a decision between, you know, like, if I don't want to play the traditional way, should I go to this place or that place? But I think that they're two totally different setups, and I think it's...
just two different
Parts.
Yeah. That makes sense. So, jumping backwards again, how long have you guys been open?
We have been open a year and a half now. It opened August of 2018, would that be right? 2018,
yeah.
I've been following since the beginning, man.
Yeah, you have.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe even before we opened, I don't know.
Well, it's just an Instagram account.
I remember finding your account about, was it some like golf home products?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like decorational type things.
That's right? That like partially funded some of Dogwood.
Oh, really? You maybe, would it have been similar to kind of Lion Loft?
A little bit.
Probably it came up on Instagram as a suggested account.
I don't remember how I got to it, but yeah.
It's all a blur.
It's it was like, it was all wood. It was wooden goods. So I think Lion Loft, well, I guess they
have
extended
some shelves,
what they are now. Yeah.
It was maybe categorized similar.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. But different.
So it's been a year and a half. What are the things moving forward? Well, I guess, what have you learned? And then what's kind of the goals moving forward? Like, what do you want the business to become?
I mean, I think we're learning so much every day. For me, the big thing, you know, we talked about how we wanted to make it Dogwood Country Club and not just Raleigh Golf, whatever. Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense to me.
The intonation of
whatever it would have been
called.
Whatever the name was going to be, something very basic.
Yes.
You know, we wanted to, and I touched on this too, kind of grow the game. And one of my big things, just as a person in general, is having a purpose in everything I'm doing. So not just doing something because I want to make money or because, you know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. So to me, finding a space that made everyone feel included and welcome and like they could approach the game of golf, that's to me just that learning point of like what makes people really comfortable probably has been big.
Mm-hmm. You being new to the golf industry before you met Dave, probably that experience has helped forming that into business environment.
I always say that. I think that was huge for our first company we started was, to me, like, I wanted to really relax golf because my first impression of golf when I went out to a golf course was, it was during college, and I went out and I saw people we knew on the next hole, and I'm like, hey, Trip, what's going on? Everyone's like, shh. And they're like telling me what to wear, and I'm like, this sport, like, I feel so uncomfortable here.
Yeah.
Right, like, I don't know what the rules are, which, no, you shouldn't be yelling on the golf course, I know that now.
Learn that one quickly. Yep.
There are things I know, but just kind of finding a way to make it more approachable for people. That there's been this consistent talk for years now of, hey, we're watching these golf courses close faster than new ones are opening, which means in a way that the game is dying. So like, how do we get more people into it? And keep them committed to it, because it also means that golfers are dropping off somewhere along the way, whether it be that they're aging out of golf or that people are just losing the interest in general. So, I mean, yeah, I think that that's been huge for me in both of our golf businesses, is how do we make people feel like they are welcome in the game of golf? And yes, you'll learn the rules along the way, but like, what's an easy way to transition in and not feel like it's a super stuffy sport? Because I don't think it is a super stuffy sport.
No. Yeah. It depends.
Depends where you go.
Yeah, it definitely depends on where you go.
It definitely can be. And I mean, like you're saying, there could be one course where they are very particular about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
And
For sure. Right. Yep.
Which shoes you can have wear. And
yeah. No, exactly. Take your hat off and stuff and all that stuff.
So do you guys have a lot of new golfers in the facility, or Like, do you get callers and be like, hey, I'd like to try golf, but not quite sure?
Yeah, great question. Again, I would say it's kind of a blend. I think it's an environment where somebody who's thought about maybe golfing feels a lot more comfortable than, like, going out to a driving range. Because they're, when you're talking about bays, you're there with your friends or whoever you came with for the most part. So, and some of our bays are a little bit more private. So if they want to feel like nobody's watching them, that to me was a huge barrier to entry in golf. Yeah. I was always trying to time when I was learning. I'm like, I want to go to the driving range at around 2:30 p.m. when I think no one will be there because I feel stupid when I'm like whiffing or whatever it is. So having that ability to go to a more closed off environment where you feel like it's just you and you can really work at it, I think it's a great way for people to start. But then, of course, we have this amazing technology that tour players are using. So the like real golf nerds are in there too, because they're geeking out over things.
Right? It's a total golf cave. I love going there.
You
it's
love
awesome.
It?
Yeah.
Huh. What? So going back to the growing the game part of it, do you do junior stuff, junior clinics or junior groups or anything like that?
I will tell you, one of our, touching back on women, one of our major focuses is we do specific ladies events. We try and do them monthly. So a great way, and sometimes it's more developed ladies golfers, but a great way for somebody who's totally lost to kind of feel like, hey, this is super relaxed. I'm going downtown with my girls. I'm going to have something to drink. Like, a lot of it is focused on, like, chatting and drinking. But then everyone gets some time with Dave to kind of work on their swing. And we play little games that help build their confidence and all that kind of stuff. So that's so actually probably been one of our big focuses.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Maya and I should go.
I mean,
I think that would maybe...
just hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there, you said you have a liquor license?
We do have a bar at Dogwood, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I'll definitely, yeah, I actually haven't seen it yet, so I'll have to swing by.
We would love to have you.
Yeah, that would be awesome. What, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about Dogwood Country Club or about the business or kind of what you've learned about the business or...
I would say if you're in Raleigh, we would love for you to come by. We do a lot by appointments, but even if you want to stop in, kind of like Leslie did, just to take a peek and meet us, we would love to have you.
Is there even a dress code?
Nope.
Wow.
Whatever makes you comfortable. As long as you're like...
dressed.
Appropriate.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You are welcome. But that's we don't want people to feel like they have to buy special gear to be there or special shoes or anything like that.
Yeah.
If you're being serious... dressing close to the gear you want to wear on the course is helpful, just so it feels the same. But
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are you hiring more teaching professionals, or are you going to get into like club fitting and like club repair? Is that kind of?
I will tell you. People ask Dave about club fitting a lot, and there are things that make sense about a pro or your instructor fitting your clubs. But part of his belief is that people should specialize in some way. So like a lot of times you look at the way that the tour is set up and somebody has one coach for mental game and one coach for this. That's because if you specialize in something, you become really good at it, right? So he's not crazy passionate about clubs. He knows clubs, obviously. He's been in this game for however long now and he's a PGA pro. But to him, he's just so keen, and what really gets him going is the instruction end, that he probably would not do club fitting, but it would be possible to bring in somebody else. I mean, I would never turn down possibilities.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy in the facility.
Yeah.
Especially that back room. I could totally see all the shafts on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see
like
that.
Like, Leslie, you want to come on?
Leslie's already into it.
Who knows, maybe. But maybe in a couple of years, if you're still looking for someone.
I'll do some schooling.
I mean, we're always toying with ideas. One thing that the way that we like to operate is we like to be doers and not sayers. So rather than being like, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then you find out sometimes that maybe that didn't work out great, so now we're not going to do that thing I told you I'm doing. We always kind of like to just take action and let you see what we've done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's also, if Dave went through the NC State PGM program, they have such a great club fitting facility there.
Oh, yeah.
That I'm sure, I mean, he could just refer people to them.
Yeah, so we do a ton of referrals.
But if it's not what he's passionate about and you're not really, you know, like in it for the money as much as growing the game, then you just refer people to the guys at Lonnie Pool are really good. So there's that too.
But yeah.
No, very exciting. And then I guess we were talking about golf fitness, which is another piece of it, but I guess Are you guys going to have like golf yoga classes at
Donald? I mean, there are all the,
you just
know,
never know.
See, there are all these possibilities always. It's all out
there. It's cool because you definitely have a platform to grow in a lot of different directions, but I understand taking it slow and like seeing what works and what doesn't and perfecting what you're doing. So very exciting. And it sounds like you're happy and you're doing what you love. So.
Oh, we enjoy, I mean, it's every day is a challenge too, but we like a challenge and we've really
loved
it.
How is it working with your husband?
We work really well together.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How has it, have you
very
always
well.
Worked well together or has that been a process?
I would say like 99.8% of me would say we work well together.
Yeah.
There are little things where like you would snap because it's your spouse where you wouldn't, where I'm like, you weren't paying attention to me when I said this thing, right?
Yeah.
But like, that's like very rare because we're such a team. And I think that we complement each other very well. Like he gets really excited about certain things and I get excited about other things. And so we kind of know how to, oh, you're going to manage that and I'll manage this.
Oh, yeah.
And we respect each other a lot. We really like to brainstorm. We have fun bouncing ideas off of each other.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. So that's kind of your key is you just like delegate.
Oh, yeah.
And you just do your own thing, meet in the middle, do your own thing.
And we know exactly how the other one works. So, like, I know when he needs his quiet time in whatever room to do whatever he needs, and he knows when to leave me alone, and we know when we need somebody's backup. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you take it home?
No, actually, I think we're really good at compartmentalizing and kind of going, like, okay, we're shutting off now, and now we're going out for drinks and just. And I'm sure that at times, like while we're having drinks, but it's that brainstorming thing, which like
it's
really gets
part.
Us going.
Yeah.
Where we're like, ooh, what if we do this, right?
Yeah.
It's not where we kind of dwell on problems within the business or anything like that. It's just the positive, exciting solutions that just make it feel like it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
So cool.
If people want to come out and check out Dogwood, how can they find you?
Oh my gosh, so many ways. First of all, dogwoodcountryclub.com, especially if you want to book and come in and use the facility, specifically have an appointment. Instagram, we are Dogwood Country Club, all spelled out. Facebook, we are Dogwood Country Club. Twitter, we are Dogwood CCRAL. Dogwood CC Rawl, like Raleigh.
Was Dogwood CC already taken?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know that you couldn't fit Dogwood Country Club.
Oh, it's too long.
Too many letters.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a limit.
Huh.
I learned that when I tried to do Dogwood Country Club.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
I think that's all the questions I have. It's very exciting now, and I feel like you have a good sort of drive and like motivation behind it all to grow the game, which is kind of, we play professional golf, but at the end of the day, we're trying to grow the game and as well. So, very exciting.
More fans for you too, you know?
Exactly. Now we're talking. Yep.
Better sponsorships. Who's listening?
Come on. Anybody? Takers? Anybody? No. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me. Y'all been a boss.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Birdie Cast.